Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our co-host is Chris Hawkins, who's all about products and podcasting. And today's episode is going to be dedicated to podcasting essentials. We're going to walk through everything you should know when you're thinking to start your own podcast. What is stopping you and what should be stopping you, what technical details you need to know, and how great it actually is to run one. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Jane. How goes?
Doing great. Glad to hear you here. So, you wrote a book about podcasting and definitely have something to say on that. Please tell our listeners, what are the biggest fears that prevent people from starting their own podcast?
You know, it's funny. When I set out to write the book, if you had asked me to get out my crystal ball and predict the future, I would have said the thing people are going to be most afraid of is the technology. And I was absolutely wrong. And for anybody out there who's planning a product, that's a lesson you need to talk to your potential customers. I didn't get outside my own head. So I predicted this one fear, and I was completely wrong. Do you know what the biggest fear turned out to be? Their voice.
Terribly curious. Seriously, voice.
Voice. No joke. I had a couple of emails out to my mailing list, and I basically did an AMA. And the thing that people would respond to me most often with is, I feel self-conscious about my voice. My voice is too nasal. My Indian accent is too thick. My voice is too high-pitched, and I sound juvenile. You know, it was all about voice. It was all very personal. Very little of it had anything to do with externalities, such as, I don't know anything about microphones, or I don't know what software to use. Literally zero people raised technical issues, and 100% of the people that responded had some kind of an internal self-focused personal issue that was stopping them from podcasting. I found that really interesting.
You know what? I experienced the same kind of fear in the beginning, but I was like, after a year of podcasting, I'm very much behind. I didn't even remember about it, but I'm not an English speaker myself. So I definitely had these troubles, like you mentioned, with Indian accents, etc.
Right. You know, I've got to say though, and this is something most people don't think of, for folks like yourself who maybe speak English as a second language, a lot of listeners, and this probably applies to podcasting more so than radio. Podcasting is a very forgiving format. It's a very personal, very intimate format. You're literally piping someone else's voice right into your ears. And what I've found from talking to people is that very often having an accent can be endearing.
Hopefully.
No joke. But you know, I'm curious, how did you cope with your own fear? What did you do to get past it and get yourself on the microphone and be productive?
Well, first it's practice, because when I first recorded my first episode, it felt like, you know, the chairs burning underneath my back or something like that.
Sure.
And it's like, oh, I'm trembling. What am I going to say next? But it passes. And I also listened to a few more shows that non-native speakers run. And, you know, they're absolutely fine with their accent. So I thought, like, why? I'm not worse. I should take a chance.
Yes. See, that's great, especially the part about you mentioned a little bit of practice, and you mentioned listening to other shows. And those are a couple of the things that I recommend to people. Number one, just being in front of a microphone will make most normal people feel a little bit self-conscious. And a lot of these folks, when they're hearing their voice for the first time recorded, it's strange, because when you hear your own voice, primarily what you're hearing is transmitted through bone to your eardrums. When you hear your own voice recorded for the first time, you're hearing it transmitted through air. And that's very different. And most people are not accustomed to that whatsoever. And it sounds strange. Wait a minute. I don't sound like that. I've been listening to myself my whole life. I sound like this. What is this odd foreign sounding voice coming out of my speakers? That's not me. It sounds like someone imitating me. And that throws a lot of people. So the practice is important. I pitch a 2-minute exercise to my readers. And anybody listening, if you're considering a podcast, I want you to go try this right now. Sit down in front of whatever recorder you have available, even if it's just the voice recorder app on your smartphone. Sit down someplace where you're not going to be disturbed. Think of something that you're passionate about. Maybe you really like Star Trek. Maybe you're really into web development. Maybe you like karate. I don't care what it is, something that you're passionate about, something that you care about. Turn on that voice recorder and just talk about that subject extemporaneously for 2 minutes and then listen to it. And try not to pick yourself apart. Try not to focus on whether you're nasal or whether your voice lacks modulation or any of that. Just listen to it and think of it as you talking to someone who's interested in the same subject matter you're interested in. And try to view it from that perspective, because that's how your listeners are going to be listening to you. And I think that you'll find that more often than not, that will settle your anxiety at least a little bit. And then the second exercise that I often pitch to my readers is to slow down. People get nervous on the mic. You've been there, Jane. I'm sure you have. You catch yourself talking too fast. And I'm really excited to be on the microphone, but I'm a little bit anxious and I want to get this over with as quickly as I can because I'm not comfortable yet. And so I'm talking way too fast. Well, what happens? The pitch of your voice goes up. You become breathless, right? And you end up with more breath sounds on the mic, which kind of brings down the quality. And generally, you just sound like a wreck. And it's very human. It happens to everybody. That's fine. All we have to do is slow down. And very often I'll tell people, okay, go do your 2 minute exercise again, but I want you to slow down. And it usually works out like this, Jane. I say, okay, a little slower. No, a little slower. Slower, slower again. Okay, there you go.
Right.
It's really, you know what I mean? It's very easy to just get tense and you start talking fast and you may not even realize it. That's why the 2 minute exercise is so important, because if you're doing something like that, you'll hear it. And any close friends you might share that practice tape with, they'll hear it too.
Right. You made me wonder whether I did that with my previous replicas today or not, because really it's absolutely the same with public speaking.
Sure.
Because when you are on the stage, when you're in front of the mic, it seems that, you know, you have 3 minutes and the audience will run away. So
right.
You just have to say whatever you have to say as fast as possible, you know, turn it out and go. And hide somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Yeah. Just get it out of you and go backstage and have a stiff drink and everything will be all right.
Right. You know, all those best speakers, they take their time, both on the mic and on stage. And you want to, you know, practice to become one of them eventually. But you won't be there from episode one for sure.
No, definitely not. I have to confess, I did like you did. I listened to a lot of shows that I felt were of high quality, shows that I felt were focused, shows that I felt had hosts that had, they had their act together speaking wise. They didn't have to be Hollywood slick. And in fact, I don't really like shows that are Hollywood slick. I think there's a sweet spot where you're showing that you've put some care into the production. But at the same time, you haven't gone over the line to where it's overproduced and it sounds like something that came out of a fancy studio somewhere. You maintain that human element, which I think is important because, again, podcasting is terribly, terribly intimate medium. That's both its biggest failing and its greatest virtue. We can forgive a lot. I mean, I've heard podcasts that sounded like they were recorded with a seashell, but the host was genuine and the host was talking about real stuff with real emotion in a subject matter that I was really interested in. And I'm not going to say whose show sounds like that because that's mean, but they are out there. So really just finding the sweet spot, I think, is pretty important.
Yeah, you need to realize that the audience shows up there to get the insight into your world, you know, to get your opinion, to tune into someone's universe, and not to be critical and, you know, just go away and turn after the first 5 minutes. Unless
right.
You're rude or, you know, that they just can hear you, that's going to be fine, most likely.
Oh, sure. I agree. And the other thing, aside from personal shortcomings that tend to stop people from getting behind the microphone, the other thing that seemed to come up very often was a combination of I don't know what topic to podcast about / I don't know who to invite on my show. And both of those seem very much like when you hear somebody say, I want to launch a product, but I don't have any ideas, or I don't know what market I should address it to. And the easiest answer is you pick a topic that appeals to people who are already like you. Do you love Ruby on Rails? Start a Ruby on Rails podcast. Do you love karate? Start a karate podcast. It's very simple. That's almost a slam dunk, is that you want to be talking to people who are like you in some way. And that will get you over the hump 90% of the time. The problem is that very often you'll have somebody who's, say, a SQL developer, and they decide that they want to do a podcast for real estate agents, right? Because they think the real estate market is hot and they'll be able to sell a lot of ads and make a lot of money. But what the hell are you going to say to a real estate agent if you spend your day, you know, writing stored procedures? You're setting yourself up to have a very tough go. And a lot of people, having created that obstacle for themselves, they just never get past it. And it never occurs to them to simply speak to an audience that's already like you. It really greases the wheels and makes it easy.
Right. However, I would like to mention that if you're considering a podcast within like a spectrum of media, like your blog and others, you should definitely consider how that audience relates to the audience of your blog. Let's say it would really make your life easier to point all of them towards the same kind of people.
That is an excellent point. That is an excellent point. And I ran into that just a little bit with my book, having cultivated an audience of people interested in podcasting. But my blog of 10, 12 years has cultivated an audience of freelancers. I found some overlap, which we'll talk about later, but that is tough. The congruency, the consistency, that's tough. It's very important. It's a great point.
But you experience the pleasure of launching a product that has an already prepared audience. You launched a book on podcasting to people who were listening to your podcast and were somehow prepared. And I can hear that you had great experience doing so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Not everyone who listens to my podcast wants to launch a podcast, but my podcast audience is comprised of people who want to launch a product. And guess what a really valuable tool for promoting a product is? Podcasting. So there is a high degree of overlap there. Yeah, which was nice.
Right. And also one more angle that I keep repeating everywhere because it's my favorite thought that I like to promote. Whether you're choosing an audience, think about, you can teach people who are like yourself. Let's say you're a developer. You can teach other developers do something. Or you can target people who are like your clients and teach them the essentials of development. So these are two sides of the same development medal, just to different point views, you know. And it really depends. If you want to attract people like your clients for a consultancy, it might make sense to, you know, go for more general advice and teach people like your clients.
Sure, sure. That's a very good point. And what you're speaking to are goals. A lot of people tell themselves, oh, I should launch a podcast, but they don't clearly think out why they're launching a podcast. Some people will take the immediate thought of, well, I'm launching it to make money, of course. But I find very often that's a poor reason to launch. I mean, we're all in business to make money, sure. But for example, when I was doing my own show, I had four kind of core goals when I was launching. And the first goal was to gain brain picking access to people that I wouldn't normally have access to.
That's great. I love it.
Yeah. Specifically people who were founders, people who were active in the founder community, who were a little bit ahead of me that I could learn from. And the second reason I launched the show was to use the show as an accountability structure as I worked toward launching Small Spec. Now, unfortunately that one didn't work so well, but it was a goal. Another goal was to educate my fellow aspiring founders and freelancers. Just as my guests were a couple of steps ahead of me, it occurred to me that I may be a couple of steps ahead of my listeners, and I wanted to kind of pay it forward, so to speak, everything that I learned. And finally, I wanted to position myself as an authority in the consulting / product launching space. And by doing that, I kind of had to borrow the mojo, so to speak, of people who were more experienced than me. Now, not all of these goals worked as well as I would have wanted them to, but I did have the goals. And by having the goals, I was able to steer everything I did in service of launching and perpetuating my podcast. And in doing so, it just answered a lot of questions for me. I never had to sit here and think, well, why am I doing this? And should I do this or that? Well, is this or that consistent with my goals? Yes, no. If yes, then I do it. If not, then I don't. And I think that's probably something that a lot of shows out there don't have. And I think that's why some of the shows, they flounder, they go away after five or six episodes. Or if they continue, the host has a real hard time and it ends up being a struggle, which is, you know, that's a losing proposition for anybody.
Right. I really love all four of your goals. And I'd like to point out exactly that money is not one of them. In podcasting, it's not a product by itself.
Right.
It's a medium like a blog or a podcast. You can't sell a blog post. Neither can you have sell a podcast episode.
Right. Well, all four of my goals indirectly lead to a place where I may receive money.
Right.
but the podcast itself, no, you're right. It's not a direct line to money. Not once did I ever have it in my head, you know, I'm going to get 500,000 listeners and I'm going to sell ads and make money doing that. I mean, I've sold a few sponsorship slots, but that's not the immediate goal. I'm looking, that's micro. I'm trying to look macro. I'm trying to think, who can I make connections with? Who can I reach out to? And in a lot of cases, I'm simply trying to connect to people whom I already feel some sort of a connection to because we have shared interests. So it's not a matter of, you know, using or manipulating people. It's, hey, that person there, they do things that I like doing and they're a little bit ahead of me. This seems like a natural friend. And so, you know, let's get on the microphone and talk about it. So sure, I agree. Simply setting out to do it for money, probably a bad idea. Setting out to do it in service of things that may lead to money down the road, that's just investing in yourself. That's good business.
Right. For my own podcast, the one that you're listening to right now, the very important goal that you haven't listed is just having fun, you know, talking to interesting people who I enjoy talking to.
Right.
And this is pretty important because you've got to have fun of your media.
I agree. And I get a lot of that out of my podcast as well. As a matter of fact, I had a big moment like that when I had you on my show, Jane. I don't know if you remember telling me this. You told me that you were consulting and you weren't real happy about how the consulting stuff was going at the time. This was before you had made your big turnaround and you were doing the way
right,
you are now.
Right, right. Let me tell you that story. So
yeah,
it was 3 years ago, I believe. I was pregnant with my second son.
Right.
I already made up my mind that I'm going to write my book. And I was standing there very pregnant, you know, ironing my husband's shirts and listening to your podcast. This was so long ago and you're still out there. I'm amazed.
Oh, you know what? I've got to tell you, when you told me that story, when you were on my show, it warmed up my heart and it put a smile on my face. And I was in a great mood for the rest of the day because that, if all my other four goals went away, as long as that kind of thing, what you just said, keeps happening. I mean, that's the good stuff right there. That makes it worthwhile right there.
You know, there are absolutely different kinds of shows out there, and we should probably go out and classify them. But your kind of show, I really like a lot because you're very human and you establish that human connection with the guest very well. And you do your prep work, but that's not the only reason why you do that. You just like to be personally involved with your guest, I guess.
Yeah, that is important to me. And you know, if I can share this with you, I've had a couple of people tell me that I'm too human on my show.
No way.
I'm not kidding. I've had a couple of people say, hey, you know, maybe in this one episode or this other episode, you know, maybe you were a little too vulnerable. You know, that might hurt your brand. You know, if you know, people think of you as being, you know, real emotional over some business thing or this or that. And I don't know. I know that the mantra of social media is post the best and hide the rest. But my podcast, I think of as an extended conversation directly between myself and each individual one of the aspiring founders that listens twice a month. And if I'm having a conversation with a dear friend, if I'm having a conversation with someone whom I'm trying to help and impart some wisdom to and share my own experience, then I kind of need to open up and show the vulnerable moments. I kind of need to say, yeah, you know, Google AdWords drives me crazy too. Or, yeah, I've had days where, you know, I turn off the lights in my office and cry, or whatever it is that happens to be going on in my life at the moment. I find it's really important to not be afraid to share that with people. If that Absolutely. Means that my show, yeah. And if that means that my show or my brand is not right for some people, well, I accept your terms. It's not. And I'm not trying to cultivate an audience of everyone. I'm trying to find my people. I'm not trying to make friends. I'm trying to find the friends that I already have that I've just never met yet.
That's a great phrase. I totally share your approach to saying vulnerable things. And I've been saying a lot of personal things in my blog posts. And you know, yeah. the feedback I've received is superior. And
oh, sure.
really, if someone thinks that I'm too human, well, let them go and let another 80% love me instead, rather than having, you know, blunt business, you know, fancy stuff. You know, they're showreel rather than backstage. Because
oh, yeah.
you always see other people's showreels and your own backstage, and that just can't compare.
Sure, sure. I've heard it said that it's way better to split a crowd than to play to an empty room. And I couldn't agree more. And that's something that I would really like to impart to anybody considering starting a podcast. Because I'll tell you, Jane, one of the other things that I do here sometimes is I'm afraid nobody will listen. And maybe I'm crazy, but I'm willing to bet that every single podcast, whatever your topic, any podcast can find an audience. Maybe it's only an audience of 100 people. That's fine, but it's there. So the fears about nobody listening, I don't know about that. My fear would be, how do I get the right people to listen?
Which, I don't know, it takes us to promoting the podcast, but we haven't really covered other tips that you need to know when you're getting started. So
oh, yeah.
we got into the goals, we got into the audience, we got into vulnerability. What else do we need to discuss here?
You know, if we want to talk about getting started, after all, I named my book Record and Release because that's the heart of it. Even if you
right.
don't have all your goals figured out, even if you're still a little bit scared, nothing can happen until you record something and release it, because you can always change it later. You can change your topic. You can change your intro music. You can change anything about it, but you've got to launch it first. And right now, this was not the case at the time I launched the book. But right now, the tool that I always recommend to first-time podcasters is the one that you and I are using right now to record this, and that Zencaster at zencaster.com. It's dead easy. You can have a ratty old $20 USB mic from Amazon and a pair of earbuds, plug them into your laptop, go to zencaster.com. You're off to the races. That makes it super duper simple. My own setup is a little bit more complicated, but not much. And I detail my setup in the book. But really, for somebody who just wants to get started, that's a great way to begin. Or again, going back to the voice recorder on someone's smartphone. You know, you can record a podcast on your smartphone just to get started. And then you can host it someplace like any of the various places. You can host it on, you know, Amazon Web Services or Blueberry or Libsyn. It's a simple upload. All of these things are pretty easy to sign up for. I would say that if anybody finds themselves capable of ordering a book from Amazon.com, you're probably also capable of signing up for podcast hosting on any of the big services. They make these things pretty easy these days.
Right. I'm using Simplecast, and I can say anything bad about them. They're superb, and it costs something around $12 a month as of today. Not much,
nice.
Certainly. Right. And for
nice.
Podcast editing, there are different, you know, ranges of premium services that will edit your podcast. You know, Podcast Monitor is one that people recommend a lot. But
sure.
if you have a limited budget, go to Fiverr.com. You're going to have similar service for way less money and still going to be out there with the audio editing.
Right, right. You know, I sometimes blow people's minds when they ask me about editing their show. What's the best way to do it? What's the best service? And sometimes I'll tell people, first, let's challenge the premise that you even need to edit your podcast. And that freaks some people out.
Interesting.
well, again, podcasting is very intimate and it's very forgiving. And I think that if somebody's struggling to get started, maybe they're short on resources. Maybe that $12 a month for Simplecast, maybe somebody doesn't have that. Okay, fine. What can you do? What one thing can you do in this moment that will get you closer to releasing a podcast? Well, I recorded it on my smartphone. Okay, great. Don't edit it. Just don't. Maybe copy it onto your laptop, go into Audacity, click and drag some music onto each end of it. There you go. If you cough in the middle of it, fine. You coughed in the middle of it. It's your first episode. Get the damn thing out there and see what people say. And if people say, it really bothered me that you coughed in the middle, okay, fine. Edit episode 2. But what you've done is something that can't be taken away. What you've done is you've actually released something.
Right. And actually, I think Zencastr that we're using now offers automatic post-production. So yes, you can get just that and strictly publish it. I don't know if they do hosting, but they could have easily.
Yeah, it's, they're coming right along. It wouldn't surprise me if eventually you can record it, get the post-production done, and then just leave it there on the service and, have it hosted there.
It's pretty amazing. Well, yeah. Anyway, so the takeaway for today's episode would be that starting a podcast is much more of a strategic task rather than a technical task. And you need to overcome your fears, establish goals, pick your audience. And all the technical details are just a minor, not a problem. It's just your way to success, and everything else is more strategic, right, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And my book has got worksheets for figuring out the goals and the reasons why you're doing things and what kind of themes you want to go into. So it's a very important part of the process. So I wanted to make sure I provided tools for that.
Absolutely. So let's provide the way for our listeners to get your book at a discount. I think that's right. The right place to promote it.
Yeah, let's do that. Anybody who's interested in starting a podcast, yes, you can absolutely Google around all over the internet and probably find out everything you need to know for free, but you could also spend a couple of bucks and get everything you need to know right in one spot. That's where my book comes in. Record and release, learn how to podcast in just one day. You can find it at record-and-release.com. And when you're checking out, if you use the promo code UIBREAKFAST, you'll get $10 off. Now think about what you could do with 10 bucks for your new podcast. Go on Fiverr and get some cover art, paid for. A couple of cups of coffee at Starbucks while you do some brainstorming, paid for. New fancy little foam cover for your microphone, covered. So go to the site, get the book, use your discount code, and take that $10 I just saved you and do something good for your show.
Thank you, Chris. This is very generous of you. So it's all the podcast essentials that people really need.
Yep, absolutely.
So thank you for sharing the secrets of podcasting today. And there is more episodes coming on the topic of podcasting. Stay tuned. Thank you for coming today, Chris.
Thanks, Jane.
All right. See you later.